Morning. Welcome to St. Benedict's. Whether you're a longtime member, a visitor, or joining us for the very first time, we are blessed to welcome you here today. Today we are celebrating the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In today's Gospel, 10 lepers call out to Jesus for mercy, and all are healed. Yet only one, a Samaritan, returns to give thanks. Through this story, Jesus reminds us of the power of gratitude and faith, inviting us to recognize God's goodness in our lives and to respond with thankful hearts. Let us now prepare our hearts to enter into this sacred celebration.
Please stand, everyone. Please join us in our processional hymn, number 538. Sing a new song.
Yeah. sounds, the dead shall raise. I know my Savior lives. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The theme for our readings today is on gratitude to God. So for all the many times that we have failed to be grateful to God for all the graces that we receive from Him, let us begin by calling to mind our sins and ask the Lord for His mercy and pardon. I confess May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. May your grace, O Lord, we pray, at all times go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out good works. through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. May I now invite all the children who would like to take part in the children's liturgy to please come forward. God, our Father, send us your Holy Spirit to inspire your children as they listen to your word. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Has revealed to the nations his saving power. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him. His holy arm, the Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. A
reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. So just to prepare you, I have 2 homilies today.
One is on the readings that we normally have on a Sunday. And today, the pastor for the parish and myself are also preaching on invitations to the listening sessions for the partners in the gospel. And I would like to begin by commenting on the readings that we have had. I mentioned in the introduction that today the theme that comes out in the readings is on gratitude, being thankful to God. It is part of our custom to teach young ones to be grateful. So when somebody does something good to a small child, we teach them to say, thank you. I hope you have followed the unfortunate incident which happened on Tuesday in Texas, in which the deceased opened the door for the suspect, and because she did not say thank you, an argument arose and escalated and ended up in the shooting incident. It is part of human nature to be grateful whenever somebody does something good for us. So we see that happening also throughout the readings we have today. In the first reading, we have the healing of Naaman, the leper. When he was healed, upon the instruction of Prophet Elisha to bathe in the river, he was grateful. So he came with presents for Prophet Elisha. But Prophet Elisha refused to accept those gifts. He said, rather be thankful to God. Be grateful to God who has accomplished this miracle, and not necessarily a prophet, Elisha. And we have also seen that happening in the gospel reading, in the healing of the 10 lepers. But in this, Jesus expresses his disappointment because out of the 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back to say, thank you, Jesus, I am healed. So, what's the significance of this story? Does it really affect God whether we are grateful to him or not? And I would say, whether we are grateful to God or not, it doesn't really affect God, but rather it affects us. So, our gratitude to God is for our own benefit. And we should, in fact, look into this and see in this that there is actually a close connection between gratitude to God and worship. So, as I said, that it is actually also beneficial to us. You can see that the Samaritan who was grateful to God had actually a double blessing. Because apart from being healed physically, but he was also healed spiritually. The gospel today concludes by saying, Jesus said to him, stand up and go, your faith has saved you. So the other 9 were only healed physically from leprosy. But it was only this Samaritan who, on top of being healed physically, was also healed spiritually because he was saved. So that's why I say when we are grateful to God, it's actually beneficial to us and not necessarily to God. Now, we have to train ourselves to be grateful to God. Because this is just a story that talks about the physical healing. But God has done for us something more than this. In fact, when we read the Bible, leprosy is also used in a spiritual sense. So we can say spiritually we are all lepers. But it was Christ himself who demonstrated that healing for us when he healed us out of that leprosy so that we can be saved. Because what happened with leprosy is once you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were told to live outside
the society. Actually, we can see that this was a serious disease. We are talking about thousands of years ago when medicine had not developed up to the present standards. And you can see the seriousness of this disease because when we read the book of Leviticus, we see that two full chapters are dedicated towards leprosy, how to diagnose it and how to treat the patients and how can they be readmitted into the society. So we have Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, both talking about leprosy. It was quite serious disease. Not just in the Old Testament, but even close to our age, in the Middle Ages. Actually, the church had a special rite. It was like a funeral for a leper. Not after his death, but before he died. So once diagnosed with leprosy, the leper was taken to the cemetery and he would stand in the graveyard and then three shovels of dirt were put on his head, which was like symbolically he was dead. That was now after that he was told to leave the community and live on his own. Quite a terrible disease. Perhaps we can relate with what happened in our present age when we had the COVID pandemic. Now, Jesus healed those people, and as I said, leprosy can also be used spiritually, meaning that as sinners, we live outside the society of God. But it was Jesus himself who healed us, and by healing us, we were readmitted into the society, into the family of God. And we must be grateful for that. So we should train ourselves to be grateful because maybe one of the reasons it may be hard for us to be grateful is to focus very much on the challenges we are going through, the problems that we have, and then we may fail to be grateful for what God is doing for us. I was commenting on this as well when I was preaching at St. Alphonsus. When people ask me, Father, now that you are in your third month, how is your stay like in the United States? So I told a joke the other day. I said, but you know, one thing that I still don't understand is why Americans that I have interacted with complain a lot. And I'm saying this in good faith because also comparing with where I am coming from. Of course, to complain, maybe there is a positive side to that. Somebody had to complain about traffic. Maybe that's why you kept on building wider and wider roads. But when you complain a lot, sometimes you also miss what God is doing in your life. So when you complain how horrible your life is, how horrible your spouse is, how horrible the country is, sometimes you may miss out on the graces that God is doing for us. And my favorite example is the donut. If you are given a donut, just enjoy it. But when you focus on how big the hole is in between and you wish it were filled up, then you may miss on how sweet the donut can be. So that's the problem when we focus very much maybe on our problems, on the challenges we are going through. We think God is not doing anything in our life. And perhaps that's why the other nine lepers did not really see how remarkable was the healing in their life. I would like also to add, could there be some possible reasons that the other nine did not come to thank God? And can we relate perhaps with those reasons? They say a catechist conducted a small exercise in her class on the possible reasons the other nine did not come back to Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, we are healed. So according to that exercise, one waited to see if the cure was real. He wanted to see if the healing would indeed last. Someone said, actually, I was already fairly okay, and it was just a matter of a few days to be fine. Another one said, I'll see Jesus later. For now, let me rush and see my family first. I haven't seen them in a long time. One began to contend that actually, he never really had leprosy. It was just a minor patch. Another said, after all, Jesus never did anything, did he? He only said, go show yourself to the priest. One said that it was the priest rather than Jesus who deserves his gratitude. For it was the priest who declared him free of leprosy and reinstated him back to the community. And I think I can go on and on trying to give reasons on why the nine did not come back to Jesus and say, thank you. Or could it be because they say the other nine were Jews and the one who came to say thank you, Jesus, was a Samaritan? Could it be because the Jews felt entitled as God's chosen people? Maybe the feeling of being entitled can also make you to be ungrateful. I would like to propose an exercise for us all. Literally write down what you think are the graces in your life from God that you are grateful for. Is it your life, your family, your job, or being an American? Personally, I wake up each and every day, and even if I don't ask God for anything, I would say, thank you, God. And I have a list of the graces that I thank God for. For example, I would share with you, when I began as a seminarian, there were 76 of us in the class. Anyway, from the minor seminary, the major seminary, out of the 76, only 2 of us got ordained priests. Should I take that for granted? Should I say I deserved it? Definitely, I wasn't the most prayerful in the whole class. Neither was I the brightest. It was just the grace of God. And I will remain grateful for that forever. So, what are you grateful for? For what God does in your life. And as I said, it really pays to be grateful, because such gratitude is important for our own salvation. If you are grateful to God, it means you trust that He is in control of your life. But we shouldn't just take things for granted and dismiss God in our life. A story is told of a man who was looking for parking because he was rushing for a very important appointment. And as he couldn't find parking, he started panicking because he would miss the important appointment. And he started praying to God. So he promised God, you know, everything, what you can say when you are panicking. God, if you let me find this parking and I make it to the appointment, I promise that I will start going to church every Sunday, and I will stop drinking, and I will be very obedient to you. And just as he was finishing that prayer, he saw somebody pulling out of the parking lot. And he quickly added to his prayer, oh, by the way, God, I found the parking. Meaning that he didn't need God anymore. He found the parking on his own. That's how quickly we forget the graces that God does in our lives. And that, as I said, is detrimental to our salvation. Because when we are grateful to God, we indeed show that He has the power even to save us. Which happened to this Samaritan. He was saved on top of being healed. I'll move to the second part of my homily. And as I said, this is an invitation to the listening sessions of our parish family movements. My dear friends, I want to personally invite each of you to take part in our listening sessions after each Mass on October 25th and 26th at our three parishes. As someone new to this parish family, I have experienced firsthand how welcoming this community is, from Father Parish, our pastor, to the parish staff, and to all of you as parishioners. This is what makes this parish family so special to me. And now, as I continue to get to know you, I want to hear from you, because your presence here truly matters. It matters to the women's group, to the men's group, to the homebound Eucharistic ministers. Your presence shapes our community. Father Parish and I, together with our parish, with our pastoral leadership council, are asking you to set aside just 2 hours of your weekend to join us. Whichever parish session works best for you. You can attend your home parish, or if another time fits better, come to that one. What matters most is that you come and make your voice heard. This is part of the next stage of Partners in the Gospel, where we take time to reflect together on who we are as a parish, what gifts the Holy Spirit has given us, and where God is calling us next. The first listening session is parish-focused, not family sessions. We'll have a total of 3 listening sessions. Maybe the other 2 are happening early next year. Each session is unique with its own set of questions. They are not repeats. Each session is a new opportunity to reflect, share, and discern. So don't stay on the sidelines. Don't let others define your experience or your identity. The more people show up, the more our shared identity as a parish family will truly emerge. During this first listening session, we'll focus on questions like, number 1, how have your experiences in our parish and the gifts and charisms you have seen brought you closer to God? And number 2, if you are to describe the main gifts of our parish to a newcomer in 1 sentence, what would you say? Your input matters. It will be collected, prayed over, and reflected on by our parish family and Archdiocesan leadership as we discern our future together. If you don't show up, your voice won't be represented, and that means our parish identity won't fully reflect all of us. The more of us who come, the more faithfully we can hear what God is saying through all of us. Our prayer is that we'll have at least 360 parishioners across our parishes participating. That is about 20% of our mass attendance. That's a lot of voices sharing what their hearts and souls are yearning for. So please join us. Bring your experience, your prayers, your hearts, and let's listen to one another and to the Holy Spirit as we continue to grow together in this parish family. You can find the QR code in the bulletin, on cards in the pews, and our parish pastoral leadership council members will be in the vestibule if you have any questions. Please sign up so we can plan the logistics accordingly. Shall we now stand for the creed?
I believe in one God, When the 10 men with leprosy approached Jesus in search of mercy and healing, Jesus never hesitated but helped them. Let us now pray to God, our Father, with thanksgiving for all the blessings he gives us.
For the church, gathered around the table of the Lord to give praise and thanksgiving for the gift of faith, and for all God's people who reach out in friendship to the outcasts of society, let us pray to the Lord. For the economic recovery for victims of hurricanes, earthquakes, and floods, and for those who face the power of addiction in their lives or families, let us pray to the Lord. For Christians in Nigeria, Sudan, and throughout the world who live the gospel in turbulent times, and for those who reach out to the sick, the poor, and the needy, let us pray to the Lord. For all healthcare workers who bring healing, comfort, and compassion to others, and for the Spirit's fortitude in the negotiations of peace for the people of Gaza, Palestine, and Israel, let us pray to the Lord. For all celebrating wedding anniversaries this month, for those who have died in Christ recently, for the physical and spiritual well-being of all parishioners, let us pray to the Lord.
Father, we thank you for healing us of our spiritual leprosy by opening for us the doors to eternal life. Enable us to be faithful all our days to our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Our offertory hymn is number 526, Let All Things Now Live In, number 526. Let all things now live in a song of thanksgiving to God our Creator, triumphantly praise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us by guiding us on to the end of our days. God's banners, auroras, prayer light, before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night, till shadows have vanished and darkness is banished, as forward we travel from light into light. His law enforces the stars in their courses, the sun in its orbit obediently shine, the hills and the mountains, the rivers and fountains, the depths of the ocean proclaim God divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration, a song that us songs now living, unite in thanksgiving to God in the heavens, hosanna and praise.
received the bread we offer you. Fruit of the earth that we call you and it will become Christ the bread of life. Blessed be God forever. We have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will come for us our spiritual drink. Blessed be God forever. With humble spirit and contrite heart, may we be accepted by you, O Lord, and may our sacrifice in your sight be steady, pleasing to you, Lord and our God. Pray now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Accept, O Lord, the prayers of your family with the sacrificial offerings that through these acts of devotedness we may pass over to the glory of heaven through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is true, right, and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you loved in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours that by sinning we had lost in disobedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks, as in exaltation we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memory of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have heard us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Archbishop, Eusebio and Frank, our auxiliary bishops, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who are falling asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Christ taught us to call God our Father, and so at the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we now dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God, you take away the
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Our communion hymn is number 347, I Receive the Living God, 347.
Receive the living God, and my heart is full.
said, I am the light, far from whom nothing can grow. But receive this living bread, and my spirit you shall know. I receive the living God, and my heart is full of joy. I receive the living God, and my heart is full of
joy. Thank you.
Let us pray. We entreat your majesty most humbly, O Lord, that as you feed us with the nourishment which comes from the most holy body and blood of your Son, so you may make us sharers of his divine nature, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Few announcements. You're all invited to join our parish family for these upcoming events. The annual Blessings of Pets, October 12th, 12 p.m. at Mary Courtyard at St. John's. Young Adults Mass and Dinner, open to all young adults, 21 through 35. Tomorrow, Monday, October 13th, Mass is at 5:45 p.m. at St. Alphonsus Convent, followed immediately by dinner. The University of Washington School of Music concert this coming Saturday, October 18th, 7 p.m., also at St. Alphonsus Church, free admission. There's a youth mass at St. Benedict next week, Sunday, October 19th, 11 a.m. All youth are invited to volunteer as altar servers, ushers, readers, or Eucharistic ministers. After mass, come to the social hour themed Taste of Fall. Bring your fall-inspired dish to share and enjoy with the community. Find more details about these and many other parish family events in our bulletin. In 2026, the Parish Stewardship Renewal Drive kicks off the weekend of November 1st and 2nd. Please prayerfully reflect on your giving plans for the coming year. We also thank you for your generosity, which allows us to continue serving the ministries of our family, of our parish family. The OCIC is for all kinds, all kids and teens who are interested in becoming Catholic. Please join us for one of our upcoming inquiry meetings to discover how your family can grow in faith and receive their sacraments through the OCIC program. All Souls Novena candles are available at the vestibule for $10 each. And finally, please join us for coffee and donuts at the school cafeteria after Mass.
The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go forth. The Mass is ended.
Our recessional hymn is number 205. Now thank we all our God.
This world rejoices.